Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he is the Capitals insider. He is the C-3PO to my R2-D2. He's Tarik El-Bashir. Tarik?
You know, I like Star Wars. I'm a big fan of droids. I kind of see CP3O as kind of a sympathetic character. I kind of like him.
Why?
I he's a bit of a coward. He's a bit of a scaredy cat. Like any loud noise makes him jump.
You're selling this hard.
I mean, no one believes any of the garbage you say at the beginning. I like C-3PO. He's one of my guys. I've always enjoyed his character. R2-D2, I mean, he doesn't even say words. He just beeps. So I'm not really sure what to make of him. But again, I'm a fan of droids, so I'll let you slide with that one.
You know, it's always funny. I sort of equate C-3PO to a fancy stats guy and Han Solo to an eye test guy. Because there's the point where
right.
Han Solo yells, "Never tell me the odds."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd agree with that.
That's our deep dive into Star Wars today. Anyway, it's the Mailbag Podcast, where you guys decide what we will talk about. We're going to take all your questions and give the best answers we can. What we will talk about today, you can tell we've passed the midpoint of the season because we are already getting questions about the trade deadline. We will talk about that, plus the Caps goalie situation and what's going on with TJ Oshie. Let's go ahead and get started with this question on the goalies from Steve McAfee. He writes, "Over the summer, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that Grubauer would be headed somewhere else. Now he's still the backup, and there's no talk about the Cats even shopping him. Is the goalie market still cold, and how much longer do you think he will be in Washington?"
It's a good question. It's an important question. It's one that's going to unfold here over the next several weeks. When I look at the Capitals, I think they still feel like, and rightfully so, that they are a team that can contend for a Stanley Cup this year. They're on top of the best division in hockey right now. Sure, they're not playing, you know, at peak performance for them, at least right now. But they're still a team that I think most people around the league agree will be able to do some damage. Braden Holtby has been a very sturdy and reliable and elite goaltender for a long time. That said, they are one fluky, weird injury illness away from needing to dig pretty deep into their system to some goaltenders who may or may not be ready for prime time. My feeling is they will hang on to him as that security blanket and will go into the offseason and kind of figure things out there. Remember, he's a restricted free agent once again, so right. It's not like he has a whole lot of leverage. It's disappointing for him because I know he feels like he's ready to be a starting goaltender in this league. But as we've seen time and again in the playoffs in recent years, you need two goaltenders to win a Stanley Cup half the time. Injuries happen, illnesses happen, guys struggle, stuff happens. And I think they'd be foolish to and short-sighted to trade him away for assets or for a young player or even for help at the deadline because
if Holt, nothing happens to Holtby and Copley comes up and Phoenix Copley comes up in your backup, fine, you are a genius.
Right.
But that first time that Holtby goes down in practice and something looks a little weird,
right,
everyone on the ice is going to go, oh, we had another starting caliber goalie and we traded him away for a D that's going to walk at the end of end of the season anyway.
Right. I think everyone was ready for the transition away from Grubauer this summer because there was a lot of faith in Phoenix Copley. Problem is, Phoenix Copley has struggled a bit down in the AHL. There was definitely still some lingering effects from the injury he suffered at the end of last season. He played his way out of that. Now he's been okay, but he's still scuffling a little bit. And I think Vitek Vanacek, who's played well in the AHL, I think he projects more as an AHL goalie, not someone that the Caps would want behind their bench 82 games a season. So for now, I think you're in first place. I think they're comfortable with their goalie rotation the way it is. I don't think they would sell Grubauer until somebody knocks their socks off. Having said that, I could see this being his last season here. I think Ilya Samsonov is going to make the transition to North America next season. I think he's going to start in Hershey, but I think midway through the year, I think they're going to be ready to see what he can do in the NHL. So that would be my prediction there. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we are going to sink our teeth into the meaty subject that you all have been writing about, and that is the trade deadline. All right, let's get into the meaty questions. We have two questions about the trade deadline that we can combine into one discussion here. First, Curtis Longnecker writes, "Love the podcast. I live in Columbus, Ohio, and it's hard to get Caps coverage." Thank you, Curtis. We appreciate it, and thanks for listening. My question is, with the trade deadline looming, what is a more important issue to fix? Wingers to help the offense, or defensemen to shore up the blue line, or do the Caps do nothing and ride the roster that they have and hope for the best? But that's not the only question we have on the trade deadline. Nick Dorsey also chimed in. He wrote he loves the podcast. A lot of love for us today, Tarek. Always giving it a listen when there's one put out. My question is this. Every year around this time, the trade deadline comes up and whether the Caps should make a move. We have done it for so many years, and it has not panned out. Do you think it's really necessary for the Caps to make a move? I think I'm in the minority for thinking that we have the pieces to make a playoff push, and they should be more reliant on their top players to get us there rather than from the help of an additional piece. Tarek, where do you stand on trade deadline acquisitions?
Well, this is kind of revisionist, but I feel like last year was the year where they probably didn't need to make that move for Kevin Shattenkirk. Yes, we saw what happened. We saw that it didn't work, didn't get them. So I know I just look like I'm just going, but you know what? I told you even before the deadline last year, I thought that they had the horses to get the job done. I would say this year, I feel like they do need to add a D. And I'll tell you why. Because they are one injury away from having two rookies and seldom used Taylor Chorney in the lineup.
Right.
That'd be pretty hard to get by a quality team in the playoffs where everything gets ramped up. And that's no knock on the rookies or even on Chorney. That's just not what they're built for right now. How many rookie Ds have a huge impact in the postseason? I feel like they need to get most likely a top four defenseman, probably a lefty, that can go in and maybe take the spot of Christian Juice.
Really, you're going left and not righty?
Yeah, I'm going to go left.
Okay.
Because if you go righty, then you're looking at someone to replace most likely Madison in that third pairing. I don't know. I mean, irrespective of which hand they shoot with, I feel like they need, and not just a guy who's going to sit in the press box. They need someone who can come in and help, someone who can come in and play 17, 18, 19 minutes. If he plays the first few games after the deadline and they look around and go, wow, he isn't that much better than Bowie or Juice or, Chorn, then fine, now you just have a little more depth. But if he comes in and you're like, ooh, this is right, this feel, then you start getting ready for going to the postseason with that player, playing a significant role in the lineup. The question is, what are you willing to give up to get that type of player?
Yeah.
I'm not ready to throw the towel in on Burakovsky or Vrana.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is down on the farm that other teams look at and go, ooh, we got to have that. And let's be honest, they've been giving away picks like, Pez gets handed out at Halloween. I mean, like, you, they can't just keep giving away picks. I know they have a couple of seconds, right?
I believe they have a few seconds.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some pieces, but I would make a move for a top four defenseman. I think it's necessary, but I also would not give away the farm for it.
So I've sworn off trade deadline acquisitions. I think you should never spend a first-round draft pick for a rental, as the Caps did last year. Now, I understood why they did it, and it was a bold move. They pushed all their chips into the table. Good for them for doing that. You don't trade a first-round draft pick for a rental. That's just me. And their history has shown, and not just the Caps history, but the history of most trade deadline acquisitions, they don't really pan out as well as you were hoping. Hockey is a more complicated game than people think. It takes a long time for players to adjust to their new team. If the Caps are going to do something, I'd rather see them do it now as opposed to at the trade deadline, where there's not a whole lot of time. Having said that, and having railed against trade deadline acquisitions, yes, the Caps need to make a move. They need to make a move because they have two rookies on their blue line, and that is not a recipe for success in the playoffs. I like Christian Jews and I like Madison Bowie. They are the future of this blue line. To have both of them in the lineup for the playoffs is a dangerous proposition. When you have an NHL coach who is able to game plan for just your team, he doesn't have to worry about all the other teams in the league. He doesn't have to worry about playing you and then playing another team the very next night. When all he has to do is focus on you, he is going to find a way to get his best players on the ice when Christian Jews is on the ice, when Madison Bowie is on the ice. Right now, Barry Trotz can protect them somewhat, and he's done a good job with that. He can play them sheltered minutes. That gets so much harder to do in the playoffs. So I'm not comfortable with having two rookies on the defense, and I'm not comfortable either with replacing one of them with Taylor Chorney. I like Taylor Chorney a lot. I like him as a number seven. I don't want the plan for the playoffs can't be, you know, Chorney for Bowie. That doesn't work for me. I don't know if I would go top six or top four. I would probably look for a righty to play a number five or a number six to play on that third pairing. Someone who
but then you're taking Bowie out of the lineup,
right?
And you're putting the new player in, and you still have Juice in there.
You're going to have one rookie.
But if you get a lefty, now you don't have a rookie in your top four. Now you have four proven veterans. Now so you have John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, Matt Niskanen, and your new player. That's your four that you're going to roll out there against the other team's top guns.
So your concern is Juice in the top four?
Yes.
Okay. And that's fair. And also, as we saw in the playoffs last year, if your plan is, okay, let's replace Juice with Orpik in the top four, that's probably not the best scenario either.
And again, someone is going to get hurt.
Right.
And you shouldn't feel like you're in a position like they were a little bit last year where you're going to play someone who's banged up simply because he's better than what you got on the bench,
right,
you know, or in the press box. So I feel like they need to bolster that position. I'd be okay with the forwards.
I'm fine with the forwards. They're slumping right now.
Yeah.
Once they get back to their level, I'm fine with the offense.
Yeah.
Looking at their draft picks, they have two third round draft picks. They have one second round draft pick from Florida. So there's not a lot. You don't have a lot of bargaining chips either to sell, and your two best prospects, I would consider untouchable. I'm not trading Samsonov. I'm not trading Lucas Johansson. I'm not. Unless you're coming to me with Connor McDavid, I'm not trading. You don't really have the assets to make a big splash. I don't know. If they want to make a big trade deadline acquisition, I don't think they even could if they wanted to.
Yeah, there simply aren't the assets to give up that I think would be enticing enough to another team. But again, I feel like they're going to find – I think Brian McClellan's going to find himself in a difficult spot because he's going to find himself with the need for a top 4D, and people are going to go, yeah, I'll take number 13 or number 65
right
off your hands for this guy. Now, if the return for one of those two guys is a good, solid top four who's got another year on his contract, but not just for a strictly rental. I don't want to give up on those two guys.
Right. And the thing is, I want a rental. If I'm making a move, I want a rental because I want Madison Bowie and Christian Jews to continue playing next year. I don't want them to struggle for playing time because of this player that I just acquired. One name that I've heard so far, and we'll look into more names as we approach the trade deadline.
And more teams fall out of it. Because,
right.
Because right now, I'll be honest, you know, people always ask me, well, who should they go for? Well, you got to wait till you get closer to the deadline. You look at the teams that are clearly below the Mendoza line.
Right.
And there's no more hope for them.
Yeah.
Then you can start looking at their expiring contracts and go, you know what? They probably move this guy. But as long as teams feel like they're in it, they're in buy mode. They're telling their owner, hey, we think we might need to add something here. Until they're not in it anymore.
Right. Well, the one name I've heard so far is Mike Green, a Mike Green reunion.
Lambo Greeny!
Now, here's the problem with that, Tark. What is it going to cost to get Mike Green here to play on your third pair? Because that's what he would do, essentially, right? He'd be a third pair defenseman,
yeah.
And you'd have to sell the farm to get him. He's one of the biggest names out there right now.
Yeah, I'd be against that move. I think that Green would be an upgrade. The problem is, you'd have to give up an Andre Burakovsky or someone that you don't want to part with. I think as you start to scour the rosters out there, look for players who are in the mid to upper tier in terms of ability and price range. You know, don't look at $7 million players.
No.
Dion Phaneuf's and Mike Green's and those kind of guys. It's going to be guys who are in that $3.5 to $4 million range,
right.
You know, 8 years under their belt, guys who are 28, 29,
yeah.
Who teams know that they're going to cost them a lot to retain in subsequent years on that next contract, and they know they can get some assets, let this guy go, and maybe even try to resign him after the Capitals playoff run is over.
Right. So sorry to burst everybody's bubble, because I know the trade deadline is everybody's favorite story this time of year, but the Caps are going to be really limited in what they can do there. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and we'll be back with one more question about TJ Oshie. So we'll take a break and hear a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, one more question for today. Comes from Dan H., and he writes it simply, is Oshie okay? He hasn't been the same since the injury.
Yeah, no, I it's a question I get a lot. It's a question I ask myself a lot. he does not look to be 100% right now. You know, he's clearly good enough to be playing out there. Only TJ Oshie could tell you exactly how he feels out there, and you know what? He's not going to, so it's not even really worth asking. But you can just watch him play, and he's not right now the same player that the Caps had at the start of the year or even last year. Not production-wise, but also just like little things, you know, like losing the puck on his stick or not catching a pass or fumbling the puck when you don't expect him to fumble the puck.
The uncharacteristic turnovers and penalties.
Yeah.
There's
something that's a little bit off there. And you know what? There have been times in the past, and I've covered hockey for a long time, where guys come back from concussions and it takes them months, a month or longer to really start playing the way they played before, because there are a couple things going on there. You know, concussions can affect, a lot of things, including motor, but also, how you see things, peripheral vision, I mean, all sorts of stuff. But it can also change the way you play because you're a little more concerned about getting crunched again.
Right.
And that little, at this level, that little half second of hesitancy can be the difference between winning a wall play, losing it, can be the difference between, cutting to the middle and taking that shot and going, maybe I'll just stay over here.
Right.
So I'm not saying that's what's happening with them, but just production-wise and eyeball test-wise, he isn't what he was before the concussion, and there's still a lot of season left.
Yeah,
I think you're going to see him kind of get back slowly, start to get back to the kind of player he was before, and this kind of all feeds on itself too. Like when you start struggling, you aren't feeling right when you come back. Maybe you come back a little early, and now you're not playing the way you were used to playing, and now you're struggling. Now everyone's asking about struggling. Now you're getting moved around the lineup because you're struggling, and it kind of can all start to snowball a little bit here.
Yep.
What he needs is a goal.
Yeah.
He's got one in the last 14 games. If he gets a goal in a couple, let's say two goals in consecutive games, I think you'll start seeing that confidence come back, and maybe he'll start playing the way we all know he can.
Yeah, and the thing, this may affect him more than it would another player, because just given the way he plays, the 100% effort, the constant harassing, the constant forecheck, the constant hitting, if there's even a little bit of hesitancy in his game, it can affect the way he plays. The good news is that even when he's playing badly, he still does good things on the ice.
He's still racking up assists. He's still doing some of the little things.
This isn't like an Andre Burakovsky who, when he struggles, he's invisible.
Right.
TJ Oshie's still having a good impact, I think, on the team.
He's had a lot of primary assists the past 2 weeks.
And if there's one good thing that came out of this, it's that Brett Connolly, Lars Eller, Oshie line. Because that line, to me, has HBK line written all over it in the playoffs. If you can keep those guys on a third line heading into the playoffs, that will give teams a lot of matchup issues. But in order to do that, you need Evgeny Kuznetsov to play the way he's capable of playing. And you need either Andre Burakovsky or Jacob Vrana to start lighting the lamp again. Because otherwise, you're going to have to, you can't hide some of your best players on the third line if your top two lines aren't getting any production. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, best case scenario, everybody's producing, and then you can keep that third line together. That's going to give teams fits in the playoffs, I think. If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. Good questions this week. We really appreciate it.
Quality stuff.
These podcasts are better the more you guys interact with us, the better questions we get. These mailbag podcasts are better for it. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. You're listening to us right now. You made it this far through the podcast, so clearly you don't hate us. So why don't you take the couple minutes it takes to give us a good rating, give us a good review, subscribe to the podcast, and then you don't have to look online to see if we publish a new one. It comes right to your phone. It's a modern marvel. The marvels of technology, right, Tart?
I'm reading about 50 Cent making money on Bitcoin right now.
All right, Tarek has checked out.
I thought you were over. This is the longest conclusion.
That means it's time for us to wrap up. For Tarek El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.